This is URN.
The Pulse Breakdown.
We now have a story by Harry about what does feminism do for men. Harry, can you tell us a little bit more?
Yeah, so this was by a Huffington Post blogger, and it's what does feminism do for men? So it points out that basically gender roles can be damaging for men too. We're often trapped by the idea that if you're a man, you should be successful but never stressed, just as much as a woman is supposed to be beautiful but selfless, smart but never threateningly so. It also posits the idea that men dismiss the notion that feminism could help men too, and they dismiss it because of misconceived notions of pride over things like who should earn the most money in the house, who should be the most successful. And I thought an interesting statistic that the article pointed out was last year less than 10% of men in the UK asked for the 2 week statutory leave they get for paternity leave, which they're entitled to. I thought also recently on Facebook, I think Mark Zuckerberg has taken, I think it's 2 months or something like that, paternity leave. It's the idea that as a man you have to provide for your family, which not only puts unfair pressure on you, but also implies that your priority is for your wife to be a full-time mum. And so by providing for your whole family, she can focus on that. It also talks about that phrases like whipped and gay are often used to insult a man when he openly prioritises a woman, while he is called a lad for sleeping around. It talks about the sense of entitlement men feel that somehow buying a woman a drink will lead to sex. The article also talks about how feminism could impact the LGBT community, specifically men in the LGBT community, where they're often told that as a man, if they're gay, they're practically a girl anyway, and become their gay best friend, and become people's gay best friend, dismissing the person and just defining them by sexual stereotype. The article also points out how at such an early age we're subjected to gender roles, with boys being pushed towards rugby, cricket and football, while girls are often pushed towards netball, gymnastics and hockey. Our stereotyping and misogyny can leave children with deep insecurities and doubts that can often last for a lifetime. So my questions for you guys are, do you think lad culture and misogyny is still pervasive at uni, or are things changing for the better?
I think it is still definitely at universities, because any night out that you go on, there is always going to be a group of so-called lads that act in a certain way, and they might act quite misogynistically, and it's not a good thing to see. I find that it's very difficult to be a straight male feminist, just because people always have this judgment of you that, well, you can't be a feminist unless you're a woman, unless you're, if you're gay, then fine, you can be a feminist, but if you're straight, you can't be. And it's very odd that a lot of people don't understand that feminism is about equality, at least in my opinion, across genders. It doesn't matter if you identify as male, female, or something entirely different. It should be just, the idea is at least, that everyone should just be equal and have the same rights no matter what background, gender, sex they may be.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that even in a place that's meant to be kind of as generally liberal and accepting it as university, there's still this big kind of schism between men and women over the issue of feminism and whether or not it should be a female-only kind of subject when it clearly shouldn't. And there's also a lack of kind of, as you were saying, when you're out in a club as a male feminist, it's technically on you to go over to them, and if they're behaving in a way that you deem misogynistic, and say, actually, could you stop that, please?
Yeah.
That was kind of part of my second question as well, whether the onus should be on men or women to do more for feminism.
I think the onus should be on everyone. I think that it shouldn't just be about women have to push harder to try and get the equal pay, etc. I think that should just be a matter of the whole of society should push together to aim for that cultural footstep that they should aim there together. Again, no matter what gender you are. And I feel that when you were saying about on a night out as a male, is it your right you have to go and like defend, you know, your female friends because you claim to be a male feminist? I mean, yes, to some extent, obviously, I do feel that in some ways, but whether that in itself is just a matter of me trying to show off that I am, you know, I'm the man, I'll take charge of the situation. I think it's better everyone should stand up for each other, no matter who they are. I do find, though, that when you were saying that university should be this liberal, quite learned place and everyone should, you know, be thinking in a sort of liberal manner, I disagree with that simply because universities are about anyone being able to get there. So no matter what views you have as good of a chance of getting into university. If you are a feminist, or if you are a misogynist, if you actually do believe in men's rights first, that, you know, that men are being pushed down by women now, that you have just as much right to get into university. I remember a story from last week about a group of males at Cardiff University who have decided to essentially stop having women in their lives. No women friends, they will not never have girlfriends, they will never have sex. Yeah. And they just are trying to be entirely male-centric. And while I might find that odd, and I'm sure many people out there will find that very peculiar, they have just as much right to, and I would never take away that right for them, even if I do personally believe that perhaps their views should alter and change and move forward.
Yeah, I think in this sense maybe feminism is the wrong word because it very much implies feminine. It's very much directed towards women. So maybe it's better to refer to it as kind of gender roles, like people feeling like they have to conform to certain gender stereotypes, such as like boys playing football, girls going dancing or whatever. And I think I agree with Harry. I think that there is definitely a really big lad culture at university, and I think it would be better if it was... If it was less so, and I think better if everyone was like equal across the board, regardless of whether they're misogynistic or feminist or anything.
Yeah, I think you came across a point there about feminism, and often it is getting a bad stigma at the moment because people associate with somehow it's kind of, you know, somehow also anti-men as well as being pro-women, which it isn't. It's basically the same as saying if you're, you know, if you believe in equality for all, you know, you're a feminist. I think the he for she campaign that Emma Watson has been particularly vocal in has kind of drawn attention to the fact that you know, it's not about just trying to get, you know, equal pay for women. It's about making sure that we have equality for both genders. So yeah,
I was about to mention the he for she campaign, which obviously was a big thing here at this university. I mean, the SU activist officer Rob Jennings played a really big part in pushing for that here at the university. But even though, you know, the he for she campaign is gaining a lot of momentum, there are a lot of people backing it, and, you know, they use the hashtag and everything, do you reckon it's actually making an impact? And do you think that it's a big enough impact? Do you think a lot more still needs to be done? Or whether what we're doing at the moment is perfectly acceptable?
I think definitely now that when people start reaching the age of kind of, you know, from kind of 18 to 21, they're exposed to more of this idea that, you know, like the he for she campaign is trying to do. But I think what the article pointed out is from such an early age, we are kind of subjected to these rules that we think exist, kind of, and are supposed to exist, but actually they don't. I think it also kind of goes down from, yes, there being this also big pressure on men. You know, we talk about a lot about, you know, Barbie dolls being kind of giving girls wrong ideas about, you know, body shape, but then also, you know, you look at the Ken dolls, the G.I. Joe figures with, you know, the all the muscles and stuff, and that's actually also giving men a lot of wrong ideas about what body shape and stuff like that, and I think they're also affected by that. I think also on the ideas immediately, you've kind of seen it a lot recently with the shootings in America, that a lot of these, particularly young men, are driven in by ideas that kind of, especially surrounding women, and a kind of confusion. And you can kind of see from an early age that there's this big pressure on them to think, oh my gosh, I have to get a girlfriend by the time I'm, you know, a certain age, otherwise I'm not, you know, a man, I'm not cool, and, you know, people start saying things about me, and so this pressure then leads to all sorts of other things, which, you know, can result in big tragedies. So I definitely think from a young, we need to start looking at the school system and maybe changing that.
On the topic of the He For She campaign itself, I think at the start of the campaign, the UN deployed Emma Watson very effectively. You're obviously looking for the younger generation who are just reaching adulthood to take up this mantle. The social media era as well is very, very powerful. And I think getting Emma Watson to do it was a very, very shrewd choice and worked relatively well. I wonder about things like this. I've just been looking, and there's out in the entire world, i.e. 7 billion people, or 7.1 now, I think, actually, there's 500,000 men signed up to the He For She campaign. Obviously, a lot more predominant in Western countries. Britain has 38,000, and the USA has about 85,000. The question is, do you justify this as a success? Do you look at it and say, oh, only 500,000, you know, people have signed up across the entire world out of 7 billion? Do you look at it like that, or do you look at it like 500,000 men, firstly, because it's only men who have signed up, 500,000 men have been swayed by the He For She campaign, have come round to the fact that gender equality is something worth fighting for, is something which hasn't been reached yet. And I think that's a very interesting topic of debate. Do you think it's been employed effectively after almost a year? It's got 500,000 men signed up across the world.
I think 500,000 men is not actually anywhere near big enough of a number. I think that it can be considered a good bit of progress, but it's nowhere near enough. Especially when you consider that a lot of those 500,000 men are probably men who already consider themselves feminists. So really, they haven't gained that many more men behind the movement as much as they just made it more obvious that there are certain men behind the movement. I think the push needs to be to show more men who don't believe in feminism whatsoever that it can work for them, and there needs to be a more effective way of doing that. I don't think the He For She campaign has done enough in that regard.
I think I look at it and I think good start, really. I think obviously you want more than that, way more, but at the same time you think, well, okay, 500,000 men roughly have thought I need to go on this site, and then, you know, they've seen it and they think, I believe in myself firmly enough to, you know, click on this and say I believe in this. And I think that's a good start. That rather
after a year, is that still a start, or is it, you know, this is about as good as it's going to get? It might get a little bit further movement, but ultimately the big push has already sort of come. They've gone across universities, they've gone across countries and tried to get
the university tour, and it started at the start of this term, as in Nottingham was the first university they visited,
right,
in the UK.
But they're still they have so far visited numerous universities at this point, and 38,000 people across the country isn't a huge amount. And again, I just don't know if that's going to go up by a significant number through the university campus tour.
Do you think we're looking at it the wrong way, though? That it's, yeah, okay, there's 38,000 people signed up to the He For She campaign within Britain. That doesn't mean that it hasn't motivated countless others to be involved. But the whole thing as well seems divided. Earlier in the year, of course, when Urine covered the He For She, there was a debate we had with the Feminist Society here, who noted that there was a couple of flaws with He For She. The fact that perhaps the slogan was wrong, it makes it sound like, oh, you know, that men should be fighting for gender equality for women, damsel in distress sort of vibe to it is the impression that they sort of gave off. And then they also said, of course, that He For She is too binary and misses out a lot of people who face discrimination and need equality as well. So I wonder whether these things are tethering the campaign back from getting the support, that the unanimous support that gender equality needs. Not, and I'm not saying, of course, that He For She is the, like, it's not, in no way is it a flagship campaign for gender equality. It's not the flagship campaign, but you need at least something to rally around. And this doesn't seem to be it, especially with the way they've branded it.
This is URN.
The Pulse Breakdown.